Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and your goodness, and thank you for those words. You're always with us, my God, and we always look to you, and that's the difference between those who believe in you and those who don't. We praise your holy name for all that you've done, and especially for what our Lord and Savior has done for us. Thank you, my Lord, for your continued opening our eyes, leading us in your ways, and helping us to humble ourselves to look to you for every single thing in our life. Thank you for your blessing on everyone here and for all those online. I thank you for my family and my loved ones. And I just thank you, Lord, for taking care of my children and watching over them. And thank you for my little granddaughter, Brielle. And thank you for blessing us all, my God, and keeping us all in the hollow of your holy hand. And lead us towards you. Thank you for Mary and taking care of her life and health and strength and for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for everyone here in this room, my Lord. Thank you for healing them and helping them and guiding them. And for every single need that's in their heart, my God, I thank you that you'd be gracious to supply your deliverance. I also ask you, Father, to take care of Joe Augustine and continue to heal him and watch over his life. Thank you, God, for the miraculous that has taken place so far and everything going well. And I thank you for your continuing to put a hedge of protection around him and his health and strength and give him patience, Father, mentally, and give him strength as well as his body. Thank you for taking care of his family, and thank you for the privilege that you've given him and me, Father, and all the rest of us to teach your word and to preach it, and especially to our family members and the rest of everybody else that we meet. So this day I just praise you, love you, and thank you for your magnificent love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And good to have you all here. I can see that Christine and Zach are online, and Mary and Michael and Sarah and Brielle are online, and I think Tony's online. So I don't know who else is online, but that's what I think. And tomorrow is Sarah's birthday, so we're going down to sing happy birthday to her. So right after fellowship, we'll have a short coffee break and a couple bagels, and you'll be going home because I'm leaving. All right, so that's as gracious a way I can say to you that you're going to leave sooner than you usually do. Isn't that just classy? But yeah, I wanted to take you to Genesis 48. Now, the day and now is a time, I guess I've been listening to the people that are crying for, everybody seems to be crying for this new thing that the government ought to take care of us, right? I love that. But the point is, but I just wanted to see, you know, this is nothing new in Scripture. I want you to see the difference between believers and unbelievers. And this is the truth. And it's just basically what many of you prayed today. It's certainly what you heard in the manifestations. And this truth is eternal as far as what we need to understand. So, you all are familiar with the story, the account of Joseph in Egypt, right? And what happened to him before. And he was sold out by his brothers, and they sold him into slavery in Egypt, and he gets to this place. Well, now, the fruit of what God had him go through, all of that stuff, comes when Israel meets Pharaoh. All right. And then he blesses Pharaoh. I'll read some of this to you in a little bit. He blesses Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, okay, you guys can live in Goshen. And then 17 years they're there. Through the famines, through everything else. 17 years he's living in Goshen, in the land of Goshen. And in when it comes to the end of his life, he makes this statement. Now, the reason I say, because you know Joseph was the one, he went through all the trials. Joseph was the one that got so that his brothers and sisters and his father could come. You know, God had set him up, so he was ruling the land of Egypt. So Joseph took care of them physically. That's what it looked like, right? But look at what Jacob, Israel, says to his son just before he's ready to die. In 48:15, it says, and he, talking about Israel, Joseph's dad, he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Who did he believe? God is the one who provided. God is the one who set up this thing for Joseph to be the ruler. God is the one who provides everything. Believers know that the Lord is the one who provides. Unbelievers don't believe that. Now, is that's like Bible 101. The Lord is the one who provides. I don't care what it looks like around you, where you're living, what you're underneath. But I also want you to see this very plainly in what the unbelievers think and what they look to, all right? Because this is what happens. Let's go to Genesis 45. Yeah, it would be a long teaching to try to do all of this in one sitting, right? God is the one who set this thing up with Joseph. In Genesis 45, and let's start with verse 1. It says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried and caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. Unto his brethren. He had watched this afar off, he had seen them, and now he's making himself known to the very men who basically sold him into slavery. And he wept aloud. He was so blessed to see them. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Hey, this is the man who's running Egypt, okay? He's got all the guns and the cops. He's got everything. And you're standing there and you sold him out? You took him away from his family? You made his father suffer all those years thinking he was dead. Can you imagine what's going through their mind? They're going to be killed. He's going to take vengeance. That's not what's in Joseph's heart, but that's what they were thinking. And Joseph said unto his brother, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, that you sold me into this place, for God did send me before you to preserve life. That's why Joseph gets it. Beaten, goes to jail, Potiphar's wife, the whole thing, all right? The dreams. God is the one who set him up in his life to preserve the nation of Israel, to preserve the lives of the people who were carrying the promised seed. Because I want to tell you, a lot of these people don't deserve a blessed thing. But that God don't care about that. That judgment won't be carried out until later. God's got an agenda here. And God had Joseph go through everything so that he would preserve the life of his family. Okay? So, you know, again, God's got an agenda. Let's look at chapter 47. Now let's look at the unbelievers, how they deal. Stuff goes on for them. Now you know what's going to happen, right? Because remember, Pharaoh gets that dream, 7 years of plenty, 7 years lean. He didn't know what that dream is. Joseph is the one who tells him what it's going to be. And then Pharaoh says, who's got wisdom, the wisdom of God like this guy? Let him run Egypt, right? So he starts to run Egypt. He's got the government, right? So in 47, starting in verse 7, it says, and Joseph brought in Jacob his father. Jacob and Israel are the same person, okay? And set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, in the days of the years of my pilgrimage, my life so far, are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of my years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my father in the days of their pilgrimage. I haven't lived as long as they have. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. He blessed him. And went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren, and gave them possessions in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's house with bread according to their families. Who's the one who has provided all of this? God. God is the one who set the whole thing up. God is the one who takes care of his people. It's not always pretty how it looks day to day, but he always takes care of his people. Verse 13, and there was no bread in the land, and all the land of the for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn, which they brought, and Joseph bought the money unto Pharaoh's house. I mean, he's running Pharaoh's business, right? He's taking care of the believers, his family. You know, all the rest of you people, you're running out of stuff? Well, good, you give me pay for it. There's no such thing you're not getting it for nothing. You pay for it. And when the money failed, when the money ran out, in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, For why should we die in thy presence? For the money fails. We ran out of money. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if the money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses and for the flocks and for the cattle and the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. So he fed them, they bought what they needed for the year. And when the year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, We will not hide it from my Lord. Like, he couldn't figure this out. How that our money is spent, and my Lord also hath our herds and our cattle, and there is not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our land. That's all we got left. I got my person, and I got my land that I live on. Wherefore shall we die before thy eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, and because of the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to city from one end of the border of Egypt even unto the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not. For the priest had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion, which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore they sold not their land. Joseph was really, it's really kind of brilliant. It's the Spirit of God. The people come to you and say, save me. I'll sell myself to you, and you can have my land, and I'll work for you. You take care of me. I'll work for you. You take care of me. All right? I mean, I just want somebody to take care of me. I want the options are over. You know, my business dealings are over. Everything I've done has come to nothing. So, hey, I don't want to die. So, and then what he does is he moves the people off the land they lived on. You sold it to me? Okay, good. You're not living in this neighborhood anymore. You're going to go live in that neighborhood. Because when they change their mind a few years later, you're not even there. You know, John and Deb are moving to Florida. Queens is gone. You know, it's a lot of work to go from one place to another, isn't it? But it also takes your mind off of what, hey, wasn't this mine? Didn't I live here forever? It's not yours. You sold it. So he moved the people. Just to take away that potential uprising. Do you see what I mean? I mean, the government's in charge. Now, how did this all work out for everybody? Where did I leave off? 22. So, verse 22. Only the land of the priest, he didn't buy their portion, because Pharaoh had already proclaimed that you don't touch them. Okay? Verse 23, and Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day. You're mine. And your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. Hey, we're in business. The land's not going to go bust. This seed, this bread. See, God prepared Egypt so that the government would have everything. He put Joseph in charge. Joseph stored up for the future. He stored up during those 7 years of plenty. He stored up and stored up and stored up because he knew what was coming. Lean times were coming. He prepared because God wanted Israel to be fed. And he also wants Egypt to be the greatest nation and Pharaoh to be one of the most powerful people on the earth because he's got a future for them too. You know, when Moses shows up. But we're not there yet. We still got a couple, a few years ahead. But God's got it all covered. Do you follow me? Just the only people that own anything in Egypt is Pharaoh and the priests. And it came to pass, verse 24. So he gave them seed, and 23, he gave them seed, and it says, and it came to pass in the increase that you shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be for your own, for seed, for the field, and for your food, and from them and your household for food for your little ones. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. This is it. People love bondage. They could have took care of their own business. They could have put away during those 7 years of plenty. They could have done just exactly what the government does. You know, what Joseph did. They didn't. They didn't have to go through all of this. You know? And they said after that, they sold everything. They don't own a blessed thing. The government owns everything. Oh, I'm so grateful. You saved my life. Now, this is the difference between believers and unbelievers. I mean, do you see a dramatic difference here? You saved my life. Yeah. Where was I? Yeah, 25. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have a fifth part. That's 20%. You know what I get from my investment? Now that I own the land and I own you, so you're going to work it for me. I'm giving you this seed. You're going to give me. You're going to work the land, put the seed in the ground. It's going to, whatever it produces, I get 20%. Now, other governments want 100%. Other, some want 70. Some, the smart play, hey, all you got to do is save seed for the next year to plant. You get to eat, and I get 20%. And Joseph made it a law that they should have a fifth part, and except that the land of the priest only, they were left out of this thing, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelled in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And this is the difference between the believers and the unbelievers. God provided for his people. They dwelled in the land of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and they grew, and they multiplied, and they did excellently. They were well off. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So he was 147 when he died. The time grew near, and he blessed his family. And he blessed Joseph's children. And you got to remember, Joseph's children had an unbeliever mom. But, hey, they're part of Israel now. I think people miss that point because it said he prophesied and blessed in Hebrews 11, that he did it by faith. That's the big thing that Israel, Jacob did. Of all the other things in his life, that's what God points to in Hebrews 11. Yeah. But do you see the difference? You have people, I don't care, like, home. You know, the big thing, we don't want to be socialist or this or that or the other thing. I don't, you can live in Venezuela today, and if God is your God, he will provide. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to want to live where the government wants everything in your life or control over everything. But my point is, the believers look to God. If you look to anything else, if the government becomes your God, like people cry out today, and they want it, believe me, I've talked, they want the government to be their God, be their provider. And you got other people promising everything. You know, oh, we'll take care of you. That'll work out real well. Just go to the DMV and see how well it works out. You want to spend the day. All right? Go to the VA, you know, and get your health care. Once people like that have it, then there's no accountability. See, because what happens, and the same thing's going to happen if I went to Samuel and we looked at Saul. And God begged the people of Israel not to want a king. He begged them, don't, what's the matter? You don't want me to rule over you? And he said to him, this is what's going to happen when the king rules. This is what governments do. He's going to take of your labor. He's going to take your sons. He's going to make it all his own. He's going to take your horses. He's going to send you to war. It's all going to be about him. And they wanted it. We want a king. We want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And they rejected God from ruling over them. Who rules over you? Because if you're looking to anybody else to take care of you, and I literally mean this. This is not figurative. If you're looking to anybody else, then you're switching gods. And some people would say, that's harsh. That's the truth. That's the truth. If you are God-ruled, then he will lead you. He will provide. And then you have to have the brains enough also to know that you're supposed to put things aside. You're supposed to steward what he gives you. And if you don't steward it for the time that you're not going to work in the future, then you'll be struggling when it's time, you know, because it's just the way it is. And if you do put it aside for the time that you don't want to work, you'll be doing fine. You know, everyone according to his own labor, everyone according to his own faith. The sacrifice at the beginning pays off at the end. No sacrifice, struggle all the way through. It's just the way it is. And we all make our own choices, don't we? I mean, I was going to be a construction worker for all my life until I really knew that I wanted to teach the Bible. But I still figured I was going to be a construction worker and teach the Bible. I did the ministry for 14 years that way. I never figured I'd be doing this and leading a church. I never considered that in my youth, ever. God's the one that did all of that. He's the one that's provided everything I've ever blessed my children with. He's the one that's provided. I mean, I know that. You know, other people might say, well, McCabe really did, you know, or Dad really blessed me. Yeah, but it's God is the one who provided. That's the way I see it. That's the way Jacob saw it. Israel saw it. So you either figure this out, and hopefully you figure it out when you're his age. And if you didn't, you figured it out when you are where you are. But God will provide. God will always take it. And you never, ever switch gods. Who's going to be your provider? Because if you want to take the money out of somebody else's pocket and spend their money that they made, to me, that's theft. It's just legalized thievery. So keep your hands, keep your hearts, keep your heads on God. Because he has got to be the source of your supply. And he will. He will. You know, and that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.